Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
It's great to see that some of you have come back from the long weekend. It wasn't really a long weekend for the students, but every weekend is a long weekend for students. I mean, let's just wait for the conviction to come on some people. As we're going to take up the offering, once you've given your offering, I want us to start with something that will take us 2 or 3 minutes. I want you to turn to somebody next to you, and I want you to tell them 1 or 2 things that you are weak in, that you can't do. Don't tell them sins, okay? If you know them, then you can tell the sins, okay? If you want to confess something, this is a good place to confess, John. It's a good place to confess, okay? But stuff that you're not good at. Okay, so let's start with that as the rest are giving. Once you've given, then I want you to share as well, okay? Okay, fantastic. It seems like there are some people that's got a lot to share. Okay, we'll give you like 2 hours a little bit later tonight. You know, when you put a lot of people together in a room, and this John Yip, who's a guy who always trains us, he says, and I remember we were sitting with these group of pastors from like these, you know, name it and fame it and claim it, and all these people were sitting there. And then he started this conversation, and he did the following. He said, "We are so grateful that you're here, but we're going to give each one of you opportunity to share with us what's your greatest weakness." You should have seen everybody thought like, no. Let's start with what we have accomplished for the Lord. You know, let's talk about how many people got raised from the dead. You know, let's talk about, you know, all that stuff. But you know, it's when we become real with God that God can really start to use us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. The theme is godly confidence. Godly confidence. Okay, Matthew chapter 14. Jesus comes. We all know the story. I'm going to read it to you, because it's one of my favorite stories next to the other 3,000 in the Bible. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. So this wasn't like, "Hey, it is a ghost." "It's a ghost!" For fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer." Jesus, "Be happy." Okay? "It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, how would the Afrikaans people, how would we announce that? Boisterous. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a story you've probably read 50 times or 500 times. But Jesus walks on the water not to take the guys to everybody get onto the water to go to the other side so that they all walk over to the other side to go and accomplish something. This is a storm, a demonic storm that these guys are in. And so here Jesus appears, and they're probably thinking like, and this happened a couple of times, but here he sent them away after he met a lot of crowds, and scripture says he went to pray up in the mountains. So they're going over, and it's not a massive sea, it's like a little water dam reservoir. You can see the other side, you know. So they go over, and suddenly this storm arises. Now that's already a miracle, because to have a massive storm on that lake, on that little dam is like massive, you know. So this was not good. And so yeah, they're in the middle of the boat. Jesus comes walking, and then Peter says, "Lord, call me." Peter doesn't just jump out. He says, "Lord, call me. And when you say come, I'm ready to come." You know, we sometimes just move in presumption. We sometimes, as Christians, and especially as charismatic Christians, we just presume we can move and we can do stuff without God's call. And so this is what Peter understood. He says, God, call me, speak to me, let your word come to me. And the moment when God's word comes, and it's very simple, come. When Jesus says come, then nothing can stop you. So Peter jumps out of the boat, he sinks a little bit, and he's afraid, he calls out again. And then we see this beautiful picture of worship right in the middle of the storm. Because Jesus calls you always first to himself. He does not call us to accomplishment or to performance. He calls us to a place of intimacy. We read it later in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus calls and he sends out the 70 guys. You know what he says? The Bible says that, and they stood before him and he sent them each one before his face. God wants intimacy with you and I. And intimacy means that we're real, that we're honest, that we're truthful, that we don't pretend. I don't know about you, but we like pretending sometimes as humans. We want to fix our lives before we come to God. But here's this beautiful picture. It's a massive thing, and we would normally just like to talk about the miracle. He walked on water. He walked on water. But, you know, the amazing thing is he was very afraid. You're going to experience your greatest miracles in your life as a Christian in the times when you are the most afraid and you look to Jesus and he calls you. We sometimes, you know, I grew up in a church, in a Reformed church, and then went on, and I remember the first time I went to a church where they lifted up their hands, I thought these people are going to slaughter me. They do sacrifices behind this red big curtain at the back there. I still prayed, Lord, take me alive out of this place. I will serve you for the rest of my life. You know, I really thought it was the most weirdest place ever because people lifted up their hands. They sang these Jewish songs all the time and nobody connected with each other. You know, it seemed like Hebrew they were singing sometimes, but out of tune all the time. And then they lifted up their hands again and it was like this funny stuff all happening. And I was just standing there. Streams of living water were gushing out from underneath my armpits. I was thinking, God, save me. The amazing thing, next week I was back there again. And I prayed again, Lord, save me again. But something drew me to that place. And it wasn't the people, it was the presence of God. It was that connection when Jesus walks on the water and he begins to call you and I. And he comes to that place and he says, come, disciples, I want you to come and worship me. God calls you first to himself. He calls you to that place where it's just you and him. And then there's no pretense. You cannot pretend before God. You know, and it's amazing. You can measure your pretense barometer by how you pray. Oh, Lord, have you noticed? Lord, have you, you know, Lord, can I remind you that maybe you have not seen what is happening in my life at the moment? But, Lord, there's quite pretentious people living with big things against me. Lord, have you noticed that there's a massive mountain in front of me? Lord, you know, and then the Afrikaans part van vroom of skynheilig. Okay? The English talks about, now I lost some of the English people, talks about hypocrites or actors. Is people that live, you know, they act out there and then in here there's somebody different than what they live out there, outside those doors. And God says, hey, hypocrites, I cannot live with hypocrites because you need to be real with God. And this is what's so amazing. When the Bible talks about these disciples, it doesn't hide anything. It just says, hey, he was very afraid and he cried out to God, help! Okay, like that, you know. When there's an exclamation mark, you must actually read it very loud in Scripture. Okay? But now, come on, don't live double standards now, because I know some of you, when you watch the rugby and when you watch the soccer, you're on your knees. Come on, that stupid ball went out of the thing, you know. And we're very passionate people. But then the moment when the band stands up there and all that stuff, then it's like, dignity is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. You know, and then we get so dignified, you know. And I'm not trying to belittle, you know, the facts, those holy moments we have in the throne room of God, but it must not be in pretense. And this is what's so beautiful about this scripture. You know, there's another guy, we're talking about godly confidence tonight, and this is part of the introduction. They want us to jump to the Old Testament. And his name was Gideon. Now, Gideon was very afraid. Gideon at the moment when Scripture catches up with Gideon, Gideon is hiding in a wine press because the enemy, the Amalekites and the Perizzites and all the Ites and the Sites, you know, they would come in and they would steal everything away. Every time when they wanted to get the harvest, these guys would come and steal everything. And so Gideon was discouraged. He was afraid. He was nowhere. And so by the time God gets to him, he's standing underneath in the wine press, hiding because he's just trying to preserve. He's trying at the end of himself to survive. He is really in survival mood. He's just trying to make it, you know. And so the angel comes to him in Judges 6 verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him. Now, you also need to know that Gideon's dad was sort of a chief in charge. And there were lots of idolatry, meaning other gods were worshipped. It was chaos. And the Jews were forsaken, and there were lots of stuff happening around him. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all these miracles which our fathers told us about, saying all these things?" So he completely ignores the angel, which is Jesus, the Lord coming to him and speaking to him. He says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." He goes in complete ignorance, denial, you know, those Egyptians that live next to in the Nile, close to that's a river running through Egypt. He's in Egypt, stuck there. In the Nile. So he completely shifts everything back to the Nile and say, "Hey, where is the Lord? Where, you know?" Because it's amazing when God begins to speak to us, when he speaks to you and I, then we will have every excuse coming up because we determine our identity and the call of God on our lives based on our circumstances or our past. And so God comes to him and says, "You are a mighty man of valor, Gideon." And he says, Excuses. Have you heard Moses? Moses is exactly the same. When God calls Moses, "Moses, you're going to deliver my people." I cannot speak. Every excuse. No. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. But you know what? God looks completely past those excuses. Because God sees in you and he sees in me what he has created us to be. And who he has created us to be. And so Judges 6 verse 12 goes on, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So now he does a bit of blame shifting. He tells God, "But God, you're at fault here. I'm blaming you." You know, unfortunately today in South Africa and in the West, there are so many Christians that are backslidden and they're offended, not with the church, but with God. They're sitting and they're pointing finger at God and they hate being in a place like you are sitting tonight where you have to submit to something bigger than yourself. You have to submit to the fact that you are not the only one that God loves. There's quite a crowd here that God loves. And you have to submit and I have to submit to the fact that it's not just that God has got a purpose for you, but he's got a purpose for us. And that is very difficult for many people because now lots of people, beautiful Christians, are sitting out there and they've lost their confidence. They're in survival. And we need to start to pray them back to come to a church like this to say, "Hey, come and let's put our hands on the plow." We're not going to be offended with them. We're not going to be negative. We're not going to be nasty. But there are little groups all over, especially if you go to the rural areas. Because they really hurt in their heart. Now they're blaming God. And yes, they're still reading their Bible and they're still praying. But you know what? They've not enrolled in the army. They've walked away from that which God has called them to do. And we're going to do that prophetically tonight at the end. You know, I had a vision while I was praying for this service. And the vision was a very simple vision. It was that all of us, we were lining up to go into an ice skating ring. Now, wipe out all your memories of stuff that negatively, this is not a negative vision. This is a positive vision. How many of you have ever been on an ice skating ring? Okay. How many of you have fallen more than 5 times? How many of you walked out there hurt and didn't get to do what you think you were going to be able to do? Lots of hands. Okay. Forget that experience. Forget the things that lies behind. Stretch yourself out. Okay. Okay. So, but the vision I had was that we're coming and we're all walking and we're walking not one by one. We're walking in these lines and we're queuing up at this little place where there's one thing that must happen. There's an exchange. You're exchanging the shoes for the ice skaters. Is that the right word? Ice skating shoes. Ice skaters. Ice skates. Don't think in terms of Afrikaans tonight. Okay, just English. Stick to English, okay? So ice skates. Is that right? Okay. Okay, cool. Okay, that's for the English people. So the skates. Okay, so you come with your shoes and you come and there's an exchange. Because suddenly you can't just run on your own anymore. There's a place where there's a delicate balance on a piece of ice. But the speed, the precision, the ability to go, that happens when you take off the old shoes and you put on new shoes. And God wants to make His church a church that is so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you literally can balance on what He's called us to do. Balance on Him. Beautiful picture. I don't know if you've ever seen some of these competitions where these guys go like, and I think like, Lord, thank you. I've not been called to that. But we're talking prophetically and spiritually. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. So Judges 6, verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said to him, go in the midst in this might of yours. He says, Now, God is busy speaking to Gideon. Gideon is ignoring him and blaming God, having all the excuses. Now God says to him, go in this might of yours. What might? He's standing in the wine press. He's just made all the excuses. And God says, when I've told something over you, go and do it. Go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. It is amazing when God comes to stand before us, God doesn't look and doesn't take up any of your excuses. Oh Lord, I've come from a family where everything is so destroyed, and I'm just the worst ever. And then God just ignores the conversation completely. Huh? Have you ever noticed that? You know, just like, oh Lord, the duck lip, you know, the thick lip, you know, self-pity. But you know, then God just says, go in this might that I've given you. I'm with you. Stop making excuses. And listen to this a little bit later, verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And then he blew the trumpet and the Abizrites gathered behind him. Abizrites. And then later in Judges 7, when I blow the trumpet and I and all who are with me, then you also will blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. What has happened in the meantime between that one chapter and the other chapter is the enemies were all coming against them. And now Gideon is panicking and Gideon is saying, oh, challenges. Let's get the army together. God says, okay, get the guys together. They amount 30,000 people. And then God says, no. Tell everybody that's afraid they must go home. I'm not going to judge them. Just go home. 20,000 leave. It's just 20,000. You know? And so now Gideon thinks like, oh, okay, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, this isn't good news. You know, there's a couple of thousands out there, 100,000 out there. And now we've suddenly went down to a third. This is not good news. This doesn't make any sense. Yeah? And then now they gather and then God says, okay, but there's still too many. I think like, okay, Lord, just of the 10,000 left, take another 500. Okay. Lord says, no. Go and drink some water. And when you get to the water, you're going to stand there and all you're going to do is you're going to just look at how people drink water. And those who drink like this, send them home. And those who drink like this, take them. Focused, ready. And only 300 remains. Only 300. Now, Gideon is panicking. He's throwing out a couple of fleeces, a lot of stuff. Eventually, you know, he's throwing first a tantrum, probably. That's what I would have done, you know. Just thinking like, Lord, 300 and all this stuff. But, you know, eventually, God storms in front of Gideon and these 300 men. The guy actually, Gideon goes down to the camp in the middle of the night. He listens. And then the guy has a dream, one of the soldiers there, and says, do you know that I had a dream of this massive snowball thing running through our camp and destroying everything? It must be Gideon. And Gideon is standing there. Okay, if the enemy is beginning to say that, it must be true. And then with 300 men, they run into the camp. They hit the stuff, makes a lot of noise, but they shout one thing. As for the Lord and for Gideon. That's very proudful. We should not put Gideon's name in there. Because we should just say, as for the Lord. But that's not what the scripture says. As for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. You see, God has given you a spiritual name and he's given us a spiritual name that we must not be ashamed of. Because that name, your name, Luan, is recognized in heaven. Paul we know. Silas we know. Jesus we know. But who are you? Because that's what the demons ask. Who are you? We've got names. So, let me run through a couple of scriptures here. Oh. Are you ready for this? Confidence. We're talking about confidence like Gideon had. Because he was, oh my God, thank you. I'm preaching for 5 people over here and about 4 people over there. Okay, we're talking about confidence tonight and this is wonderful. Thank you. Who said amen here? Who said amen? Was it you? Did you say amen? Somebody here said, did you say amen? Oh no, 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 she's gone. It was definitely a girl. Hello, how are you doing? Thank you for your enthusiasm by saying amen. You know, it is just like, Lord, let it be. Okay, so I'm going to preach at you. I don't know if the rest are you. Are there any other people in the house? Okay, thank you. Just say amen. Okay. Thank you. There's another 10. So I'll preach at this crowd over here. Okay. But hey, let's get a bit more like, hey, this is church. Come on. You know, make some noise. Don't be hypocritical. Okay, so confidence. The first confidence we have is in the word of God. Remember Peter walking on water, he says, God, call me at your word. With the same with the nets, he said, Lord, if you tell me to throw the nets again, I will do that. The word of God. And you know what? So many people, so many Christians are walking away from the word of God today. They're making excuses for the word of God. They say, no, the word doesn't say this. You know, I was very saddened last week, and I'm going to say it very truthfully with lots of respect. When one of two of the biggest groups of churches in South Africa said publicly that what Jesus said when he referred to Satan and he said to a couple of people, you like your father Satan, that Jesus didn't actually know what he was saying because he was bound culturally and therefore he didn't know actually what the words actually mean. Now that's one of our mainstream churches. And I was very saddened when I read that because I realized, oops, we're in trouble. We're in trouble when people start to tell other people that what Jesus meant wasn't actually true. Jesus didn't actually say it literally. Jesus, there is actually no more devil, because that's what they actually say. There's no more demons and there are no more devils. Well, just look in the world around you. We're in a mess. It's the devil. It's demons. It's stuff that's coming to harass you. And many of you sitting here know there's a devil because that confusion you're having in your life is not from God. It's from the devil, the accuser. But you know, we're trying to be so tolerant that nobody says, hey, what does the word say? The word is the truth and that is the only thing that will remain. In Hebrews 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed and he will not change. Now we want to change. We want to sort of change the goalposts and say, no. Do you know what? You know, the whole society is like this and everybody is like this. But God does not change and his word does not change. Because if you only believe a little bit of the Bible, you must throw away the Bible. What are you going to believe and what are you not going to believe? The word of God remains the same. Jesus is the word made flesh that came to dwell amongst us. John chapter 1. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his word, which is Jesus. The Spirit, the Word, the blood remains, Scripture says, and that Word does not change. You and I can change and we can think in our minds, oh, I'm not going to take that literally. And you know what? I'm going to sort of compromise because I don't really believe that Jesus rose people from the dead. You have just fallen for deception. You have just fallen for deception. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If ever there was a time for you to read your Bible, it is now. Experience and events cannot determine direction. It is only the Word of God. So if your direction, because what? It's your word that is a lamp unto my feet. You must find direction in your life by the word of God, not by your experience. So we love all the nice sermons and all the clips and all that stuff, and that's great. But Christian, you need to get into the word. Don't give God 3 minutes a day in the Bible and think the devil is going to stay away. You're going to get deceived. Don't be deceived. You have to love the word. You have to consume the word. You have to get into it. It's the lamp unto your feet. It's the direction. Listen to this in Acts 4 verse 29. When all hell broke loose against the disciples and they're in a tough time, listen to what they pray. They say, now Lord, look unto their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we might speak your word. And Lord, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. There's a trend in the charismatic church today that is running after the miracles. But once you've seen the miracle, you have to ask one question. Miracles' genuineness is the fruit of that is very simply, do people get saved and is there a boldness of speaking the word? If we just run around and say, oh, that was a nice experience because I lied on the ground, I was face down on the ground and all that stuff. Great, but when you stand up from that, is there a preaching of the word? I've been in some church services where people laugh and do all of that stuff. And then all I look around and I say, God, I'm not going to judge, I'm not going to tell anything. But what happens after the laughter? Is there a transformed life that gets up from that ground? Is there somebody that stands up and says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your wicked ways now. Because those words were quite in the Bible. It was like the first sermon. It was the second sermon. It was the third sermon. It was the fourth sermon. If you read through the book of Acts, you just see the scripture didn't start with, we're going to watch a nice video clippy now so that you can feel better about yourself. Come. Yeah, it's repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Embrace the word. But you know, it's beautiful when you embrace the word because there's a confidence that comes when God speaks that word over you. The scripture says the washing of the word. It's like you're standing under this massive waterfall and you're being washed. You're just like opening your mouth. The water is coming in. It's fresh, you know. It's not toilet water, praise God. It's not secondhand water. It's like this fresh water. It washes through you. It washes in you. It washes around you. Just like that's the picture of the word of God. See, we have a confidence, and that's what happened here. Yeah, they preached the word. They said, God, we're not going to stop preaching the word. We're not going to stop saying what you say. And then God shook the buildings, the signs and the wonders came. And then they preached with more boldness, confidence, because they realized the word that God has given. The second thing is we have confidence in the cross. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 to 15, Paul writes and says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He says, there's nothing this world can give me. Absolutely nothing. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Many people on this campus are fighting about who's black, who's white, who's green, who's yellow, who's all that stuff. And people are going to sit around that table for so long until the Christians begin to stand up and say there's only reconciliation in Jesus Christ. Come on. Because man cannot reconcile to each other without the new creature, the new creation, because we're sinful. We're always going to stand there and say, I am Stellenbosch. I am not Stellenbosch. I am open Stellenbosch. I'm closed Stellenbosch. I'm over Stellenbosch. I'm under Stellenbosch. I'm through Stellenbosch. And people are going to go around, and whoever says what about whatever is going to, people are going to go around the mountain, and nobody's going to talk about the sinful nature. That's the problem, because you're always going to live there in Egypt next to the Nile as long as you don't reconcile yourself to Christ. Come on. You know, and I'm not belittling what people are going through. It's amazing. It's amazing that people are beginning to talk for the first time about your hurts and my hurts, your pain, my pain. We have to talk. But you know, there can be no solution until we come to the cross where we're all naked before Christ. Because he died so that we can be reconciled to God. So before you're white or before you're black or before you're a guy or a lady or this or that, there is only guys and ladies, but you know, but before you, whatever you are, you need to be reconciled to God. That's the new creature. That's what he's saying. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no slave, there's no free, it's not about the label on the outside. Before you are a doctor, you are a Christian. Before you are a Eendrachter, you are a Christian. Before you are a Minervian, you are a Christian. Before you are a Nerinaina, you are a Christian. Amen? Okay? But what we do is we walk out those doors and then we first something else before we are a Christian. But we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the power to walk and to build a bridge into somebody else's life. Why? Because we've been set free. We don't have those hang-ups. But we understand people's pain. We understand where they're going from. We're not belittling that. We're listening to everybody. But if you come from a place of pain, there's going to be no resolving. Lord, open up the gates. For the King of Glory wants to come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Jesus, you are mighty in battle. Open up Stellenbosch. Open up Stellenbosch for your glory. Lord, you are the only one, the only answer for this town and for this nation. Be the King, Lord. Oh, number three, confidence in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12 verse, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Weakness is not equal to sin. Weakness is just that humanness, humanity. Boast in your weakness. I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, verse 10. Therefore, if I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for I, when I am weak, then I'm strong. It's about a dependency on God. So that whether it's going well or whether, you know, like we sang tonight, and many of you, you know, you need to learn that. You need to teach yourself that. That even if all things are going wrong in your life, you can say, it is well with my soul. Because to know God, to know him. Philippians 4 verse 11 to 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Contentment, you know, contentment in godliness, scripture says, is great gain. Contentment is that ability to stand at a place and to say, it is well with my soul. Contentment is you're not running because you want another spiritual breakthrough. You're not living for tomorrow. You're living today. You have a lifestyle of knowing that God, whatever comes my way, you're going to turn it for good. Whether it's from the devil, whether it's from you, God, you say that. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've told this testimony a lot of times here before. But you know what? In a time in my life when I was going through depression, I was going through, you know, and the other day this lady said to me, don't talk about depression like that. I say, I will talk about depression like anything else. It's not a label. It's just, hey, God wants to set us free because he set me free. So I'm not saying, oh, just, you know, throw away your pulls or anything like that. It's just very simply, Jesus has made a way. He's come to die, you know. And when I struggled with that stuff, you know, I remember God gave me this scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you know what? It is easy to quote it and put it on your wall when everything is going your way, everything is nice, everything is like, oh, tiptoe through the tulips, because Jesus is good. Tiptoe, you know? Oh, he's with me, he's with me, na, 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 you know? Now, it's great when you have all these breakthroughs. But when you're lying there and you cannot lift the, you cannot get yourself out of bed. And many of you know that time, that place where you're just desperate and everybody has prayed for you and it doesn't work. It just seems like it doesn't work. When you're in that pit where you're just like in the valley of despair and everything comes against you and all of that stuff, and then God sent his word. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When the word of God comes, his revelation word into your life. And some of you have not heard that word for a long time, but tonight he's going to speak it again into your spirit. And you know what? For months after that, at 13 minutes past 4, every night God would wake me up. The Holy Spirit would wake me up. I would wake up and I would just see the alarm clock. And I would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the next day. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was 25 years ago, at least once a week still. For 25 years, at 13 minutes past 4, the Holy Spirit would wake me up and say, I want to remind you, I want to remind you of my word that I sent to heal you. And I would just lie there, not be very spiritual or now pray for the heavenlies to open up. I would just lie there with a smile. Say, God, you are faithful. 25 years later, and still I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm not going to believe the lie of the devil. He's come many times, and he comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. That's the only terms he knows. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he comes like a thief. When you don't expect it, that's when the devil comes. But Jesus has come to give life. And life in abundance. Can we have some? Amen. I am psyching myself up now because we're speaking about the word of God. Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Shake your neighbor and say, hey, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So I want to challenge you this week. Like we started tonight, I want to challenge you to start boasting in your weaknesses. I want to challenge you to say to God, God, I want to be content to where I am. I'm not going to live by a breakthrough. The fourth thing. Oh, you started to pack your stuff away. I saw that. We're only halfway now, okay? Confidence in the call, okay? Philippians 3 verse 13. Brethren, he's speaking to you. And sisterin. Okay. I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. When you press, it means there's going to be some resistance. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, daily I'm living in a place of contentment and forgetting the things that lies behind. And I press myself towards the call of Christ. I press myself to that place of having a confidence in the fact that I'm not an orphan. I'm not a slave. I'm a son of God. And because I'm a son, then I'm an heir of God. I've got a birthright. And I can ask God boldly, boldly. Like James' song that we sang tonight. You know, it's what an amazing anointed song. I don't know if you felt like the Holy Spirit just on that song. But you know the reason why it's so anointed and why some of these songs are so anointed? Because it comes from a humble heart. It's James Pringle. You know, because do you know what? You're going to become what you worship. You are going to become what you worship. You are going to become what you worship. If you worship your rugby, you're not going to become a rugby player, but you're going to become competitive, okay? For a moment, I thought, like, what am I going to say now? But in any case, so, you know, I was thinking, like, but whatever you commit your life to, whatever you decide you're going to worship, you're going to become that. That's why I want to worship Jesus. I don't become Jesus, I become like him. Humble. Humble. See, he says, I press toward that goal, the upward call of Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, verse 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 20. The last one is confidence in our unity. The fact that God has given us an assignment as Christians, and especially here on campus, for us as a church, for you as a small group. And he says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That is God's standard. That's what his word says for you tonight. If you believe in Jesus, that is the sign of you know, believing in him. A lifestyle of that. This is before he leaves. He says, these signs will follow you as you follow him, as you follow the call of God, as we come into unity, as we come into agreement. This is the benchmark. This is the place. I want you to think quickly how many of those signs you saw in this past couple of weeks in your life. I put this scripture up for the third year Bible school. There was great conviction, and I'm waiting for that same conviction right now. Because if we truly follow him, if we truly believe, there'll be certain fruits in your life. Otherwise, you're just living that relationship, and I'm living that relationship with Christ for me. Do you know what? He's going to love you. He's not going to reject you. Maybe you're going to sit at a place, but that is what he said. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. No, but Jesus didn't actually mean what he was saying, you know. It was a culturally emotional time for him because, you know what, he was just conquered death, you know. And he was just going to go, he's going to go be beamed up like Scotty, up into the air, you know. He's just been into the pits of hell. He's broken the chains of death. And now he's standing in front of his disciples. But you know what, it was just for those 12. Or the 120 maybe. But you know what? It's sort of the signs died away many times ago, many years ago. Because you know what? That scripture isn't really inspired by God. So, but he doesn't say these signs will follow you who believe. It wasn't directed to the people sitting there in front of him that heard these words. Those who believe. Oh. Read it over at least 3 times. And this is their reaction in verse 19. So then, next slide. Then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went about and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The legacy Jesus left, the power of the Holy Spirit in your and my life was, for one thing, is for us to come into unity concerning what God's call is on our lives. And that brings a confidence that the Lord works with them, confirming the sign with signs and wonders as we preach the word. But you know why the church in the West is so powerless? It's because we don't actually preach the word anymore. We're afraid to preach the word. We're not confident in the word. We're confident in our little programs. We're confident in, yeah, we had a nice experience, but there's no power. And then when you go to the church in the East or you go to the church in China and you see people being raised from the dead every week and you see people, signs and wonders, all of that stuff, and you think like, God, is it 2 different churches? Or is there 1 church, Lord, that is full of unbelief because they're not preaching the word anymore? And I'm not saying this to condemn us tonight. Tonight is a call for you and I to man up, to woman up. Stop making excuses. You know, there is enough people in this room that if we come into agreement concerning the Word of God, this campus, this town, these schools around us will see the greatest revival ever. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can save Stellenbosch in one day? Do you really believe that? Why don't you ask Him for it? Why don't you start asking Him for it tonight? What are you asking Him? Lord, please be with me. Lord, I'm writing an exam in 2 weeks' time, but oh, Lord, please bless me. Lord, you know, I'm 19 and a half. I'm lonely. It's not good for man to be alone. Lord, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. But see, when we start praying just about ourselves, oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, be with me. Oh, Lord, I'm here. Have you realized that I'm in the room? And then God sometimes says, have you realized that I'm in the room? Have you realized God has got certain needs, certain desires? But Lord, I'm 19 and a half and 1 hour now because that pastor is preaching very long. Time is running out. I need to get babies. Multiply, Lord. I need to multiply. Yeah? I want to fulfill Genesis. And then the Lord says, have you realized I'm in the room? Have you realized that I love you? But have you realized that my relationship with you isn't really about you? Have you realized that your relationship with God isn't really about you? And once you've crossed that line, you've said yes to the call of God. David stands and everybody in the army is moaning. Everybody is screaming, his own brothers. And then David asks this one thing, but he says, look at these giants, look at these people, look at how should we be afraid? We're going to die right here. We're just in survival mode. And then David looks up and he says, but is there not a cause? We're standing here and we're talking about all these issues, but is there not a cause of Christ? Is there not a greater reason why we're here? And see, once you've crossed that line, and I believe that choice is for some of us here tonight, because our swords are hanging on the ground and all of that stuff, and we're just like, we're an army, but we're not an army. Until God's word comes forth. And he says, arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In Isaiah 54, he says, sing, O barren one, your time has come. God's word always comes forth. And God is sending his word to this campus, to this town. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. And there's such a powerful thing in our unity. But before you run around, try to unite all the churches in the town. First, find yourself to a place where you can commit yourself to a small group, where you can begin to serve, get trained, get in that place where just the six of you and just the eight of you learn to come into agreement. Some people try to unite the church out there, get all the churches together. Stop doing the work of Christ. Just focus on what do you need to do in that place in the army that God has called you. It's a confidence in what God has called us to do. It's a confidence to say, God, even if I just sweep the floors, that's my part. Even if I just do this, even if I just pray for that, Lord, it's my part. I want you to show that video clip and then we're going to... I have a video clip, okay? Just for in case. But it's not a nice one. Okay, the sound is gone.
Imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. He just exists forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about that? What about all this stuff that's just, it's crazy me, because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all this stuff I could enjoy. And I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God. Because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth. And it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And you see, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb?
So, tonight, I want to challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I want to challenge you and ask you whether you're part of His end time army, His end time bride, or whether you're just living for yourself. You'll go to heaven. He will love you. He will serve you. And He will answer your prayers. But there's a group of people that are discontent with the things of the world, that are beginning to say, God, there's truly a greater cause. My significance is living my life out to glorify You, to have intimacy with You, and then to show the world that there's a God. I want to boast in the cross. I want to live my life being significant. And that means that some of you, and that's what Jesus said, that's the first part where you start to say, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back and you take your hand off, you cannot be my disciple. He says, unless you come to Me and you deny yourself and take up your cross, you cannot have life. Unless a grain of wheat dies, falls into the ground, dies, and is covered, it cannot reproduce. The greatest enemy that you have is not the devil, it's you. It's living for that red part. Living to satisfy yourself right now, but you'll only be satisfied in Jesus. I'm not talking to unsaved people now. I'm talking to saved people. I want to talk to Christians. If you've been saved for longer than 2 years, I want you to stand. You've been saved for longer than 2 years. If you would die tonight, what can you give Jesus? Your heart? Wonderful. Great times of worship. Wonderful. Intimacy with God. Wonderful. But I want to ask you, what are the names? The names. Give me the names. Show me the people. Because that's the one thing he's going to ask of you. I want to especially talk to Christians that have been running this race a little bit longer. And maybe you can't show them in the natural, but you've prayed for them. Great. Great will be your reward. But if you're sitting here tonight and there's really no evidence of the fact, if somebody comes in here to arrest you, take you to jail and say, I want to put them in prison, but I need some evidence against him that he's a Christian. Will there be any evidence against you? Does your family know? Have you prayed up a storm around them? Say, God, day and night, day and night. I'm not talking about performance tonight. I'm just very simply talking about eternity. What's the condition of your heart? It's amazing. Do you know, most Christians, after 3 years, they get complacent, get into the world. And then the young Christians come in, the young believers, and they just say, oh, just be balanced. You are just too much passionate. Just be balanced. You're going to grow up. And we're just using that as an excuse because we've lost our flame for the first love, the passion in our hearts. We've lost our confidence before God. And then we've lost our confidence before people. And we just go through the motions. And God wants to change that tonight in your life. But only when you acknowledge your weakness. I want the rest of us to stand as well. And if you're here tonight and you're really struggling and you're only coming to Jesus, do you know what? Take your time. If you're a young believer here tonight and you've given your life to Christ, take your time. Let him heal you. Let him touch you. Let him show himself to you. But there's some of you making excuses. And do you know what? God is coming for a bride and for an army. God is coming back for an army that is ready, prepared. A bride that has made herself ready. And tonight we're calling and we're blowing the trumpet in the spirit for the army of God to arise. And I'm not looking, and we're not looking for 30,000. Because maybe some of you are afraid. Go home. Go settle your life with Christ. Go home. God is not going to judge you. Settle that issues. But tonight there's certain of you that must be lapping up that water already. Looking to the horizon and say, there's a cause. I'm not happy where I was. Forgetting the things that lies behind me. I'm stretching myself out. And God, I feel weak. God, I feel I can't make it. But Lord, here I am. I'm going to be part of your church that you're raising up in the end time. Spotless. Without blemish. That has made itself ready for his return. An army that marches in order. Joel chapter 2 prophesied that army that doesn't break ranks. That doesn't submit to lawlessness and run off to every other thing. Because they're so struggling with submission. They're so struggling just to be real with God and then to be real with other people. And that's why people are out there running around. Sometimes washing out their mouths. Because what? It's just a lawless spirit. It's a rebellious spirit. People don't want to submit and be accountable to anybody else. Why? Because we don't want to be an army. We want to be a love picnic before Jesus. But the trumpet is blowing all across the world. You know, there's more than 110 million Chinese young people between the age of 15 and 25 that have already signed their names and said they want to go back on the Silk Way, march through the Middle East. Go back to Jerusalem. And they want to show the Middle East that Jesus is alive. The army is rising up. People in Indonesia standing up and say, God, 14-year-olds leading small groups, laying hands on the sick. The biggest Muslim country in the world, and they're rising up like a massive tsunami. The army of God is standing up. In Brazil, in Argentina and stuff, God is rising up. God is blowing the trumpet, and it hasn't got 20 sounds. It's got one sound. It's the call for the army of God to arise. I want to be part of that army. But we're going to start just where you're standing. We're going to start with a bit of repentance. And what we're going to do, we're going to repent according to that scripture in Mark chapter 16. Say, Lord, I don't experience you working together with me through signs and wonders. I don't see these things in my life. I realize I fall short of your glory. It's as easy as that. It's not condemning. Repentance is beautiful. You realize your shortcomings, your weaknesses. Say, God, I realize that I've been focusing so much on myself. Because there's some of you, and I'm speaking to students specifically now. You are planning. You have planned your December holiday long ago. You're thinking about it in your head. You're going around. But have you for one moment thought about what God wants you to do in December? Come on, let's be real. Let's make it practical. Have you actually prayed about, say, God, I don't want to go and do that overseas a holiday because I've done 5 of them. Traveling in Europe to find myself. Traveling there. Maybe we must move our agendas and say, God, there's a couple of people that needs to be in that summer camp. Even if I can't be there, then I'm going to pray for those 5 days. Because I'm realizing you raising up an army. Well, God, I'm preparing myself to come, go on that mission trip or do this, God. Or doesn't mean we need to be performing. It's just about our readiness. Because soldiers go to sleep with their boots on. They're ready like this. And some of you plan your whole weekend, and I'm really honest and straight with you tonight. You have planned your whole weekend, and I must actually talk to the people that are not here tonight. You've planned your whole weekend around your social, around your rugby, around this, around that, but you haven't planned it around church. Meeting in unity and celebration with God. That must be the highlight of your week. But we're good at planning. Don't use admin as an excuse. You're good at planning. You rock up for those tests. You're there. You prepare for them. So don't make an excuse. But how much do we plan and have urgency in our hearts? God, come. Come, Jesus. I want to encourage you just to start praying, some of you. You know what we've been doing, some of us, we've coming to every school on Tuesday at 7:30, we're praying at Stellenbosch High, and we're just saying, God, bring revival. Bring revival. And every week, we're just praying at another school. On Friday mornings, for the past couple of weeks, we're there on the rope plane. Last Friday, Thursday was a holiday, and 8 people came. But you know what? God doesn't need numbers. 8 people, and we stood on the rope plane, and we said, God, let revival come. Every Friday, 6:00. For the next couple of weeks, we're praying there at the rope line. But please don't come because you feel obligated to come. Please don't come because it's just another option. Because you went to bed late last night. You know, I did a wedding on Thursday night till 12:00. Got into bed at 1:00. But I planned around Friday morning being there, part of the army, saying, God, I want to be there. Because wherever you move, I want to move with you. I want to work together with you. So it's in those little things where we send signs to God. Say, God, I'm weak, but God, you know what? I want to be part of that army. You're raising up an army. Blow the trumpet, Lord. Blow the trumpet. And so it starts in your prayer life. It starts in the Word. It starts in saying, God, I want that call. I want you to call us. Call us. What are we doing? Lord, I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to call some of you that if you don't know Jesus here tonight or you're backslidden, while I'm speaking right now, I want you to come out from where you are and come and join me in front. If you're backslidden, you need to recommit your life to Jesus, or maybe for the first time, you need to come to Him. Then you know what? You're already enrolled in His army. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come right here, because we're going to just say to God, God, this is it. I want to live for a cause greater than myself. Because that's what you died for, Jesus. Not just for my forgiveness. That's where it starts for me to be born again. But it starts with, Lord, realizing why I've been made is to worship you. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come. If you're backslidden tonight, I want you to come. I don't care what the people around you say. They didn't die for you. The other day, I must be very honest. And I'm going to be very honest and frank with you. I was walking through campus, you know, and I've been here for 20 years and I got a bit discouraged. I was saying to God, God, do you know why? Why are so many people resisting you on this campus? Why are so many people just, they just like doing their own thing? And then God said something very clearly to me, and it was very tough for me to hear that, but I heard that. And he says, the students in Stellenbosch has got too many options. I'm just another option. Oh, I've got five options. I can climb the mountain, go to this, have this social. I've got so many options. And I also have an option to go to church or sometimes go to small group. But you know what? Oh, it's a busy week. I'm going to rather watch the sour final. So I plan for that on Friday, all that stuff. So no. Let me rather skip small group where the brethren comes together in unity. Let me rather skip that. No, I don't really want to belong in a small group because you know what? I don't actually like those people there, you know. Just another option. And I've been praying differently, and I'm just very honest with you. I say, God, shake this place until there's only one option left. If they realize they actually just have one option. I'm praying scary prayers these days. God, I say, whatever you need to do to shake this place, shake it at its foundations. Let every person on this campus, let every Christian on this campus become so uncomfortable. Shake them out of their comfort zones. Shake us, God. Shake us to the place where there's only one option. It's a scary prayer because, you know, it's actually the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But, you know, God, let your goodness come. Let your goodness come so that we choose your goodness. We're going to say yes to God. If you're standing here tonight and God is just another option in your life, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come to the front right here. If God is just another thing on your menu, I know I'm taking a lot of time, but tonight you need to make a decision. Because you're thinking like, yo, this is a bit of pressure. What are you doing with that red part? And what are you doing with the long part of the rope? It's a choice. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come, sir, now. If God is inviting you, I want you to come. Thank you. I want you to come. We say, God, I choose not to have an option anymore. I choose to say yes. Because it's in your weakness that He's made strong. When you realize, God, I actually have so many options and I've just, Lord, but tonight I'm saying yes to your call, to your presence in my life. I want you to come, sir. I want you to come, lady. He died for you. I want you to come if God is speaking to you. Say, God, tonight, I don't know. Making you my only option. And I don't know where to start. I want you to come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so gentle, Lord. And as you come repenting. Just say to God what's in your heart. You don't need to pray to change your life. You just say to Him, God, I realize I fall short of your glory. I'm a human, but change me, transform me. Start praying just where you are. Just your own words. I want you to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're here to bring a freedom. Because, Lord, in some way we think, Lord, that the world can satisfy us. But I pray, Lord, for each one standing here, that they will find no more satisfaction in the world. That there will be a separation, Lord, of a holy people. A people, Lord, that cry out day and night, Lord. That birth the purposes of God and birth the ways of God and the word of God. We say, God, we want nothing else. We want nothing short of your glory. Father, I pray that tonight you'll transform minds and hearts, Lord, to be aligned with your word again. Lord, I pray that you'll wash people clean, Lord, by your blood, Jesus. It's only your blood. It's only your blood that can change, that can transform, that can renew. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you. Send your word into people's spirits. Send your word into people's spirits. Thank you, Lord, tonight, like you sent your spirit over Gideon. We pray that you'll send your spirit over these people. Send your spirit, Lord, because Gideon was so afraid, Lord, even after your word, Lord, he didn't believe that. But let them believe, Lord, that they'll rise up, Lord. They'll rise up and say, truly, there's only one God. Truly, there's only one option. Thank you tonight, Lord, for transformation. It's beautiful what the Holy Spirit is doing. Some of you are spectators. I want you just to close your eyes and I want you to praise. We're just waiting for some more people to come. Break our hearts, Lord. Just where you're standing, I want you to pray. Thank you, Lord. Show people their humanity, Lord. We're not afraid of our humanity, but heal us, Lord. Heal us from this disease called the world and our obsession with the world, a satisfaction with the world. But deliver us from evil, God, tonight. Deliver us from evil. Jesus, we make you Lord. 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 While these people are praying, I want to talk to the second group of people. You are submitting to a lawless spirit. You just run after Jesus when you want to. But an army follows a commander. His name is Jesus. And tonight you know that you're just running off whenever you want to. But tonight God is speaking to you about taking up your sword, putting up your girdle of truth, your helmet of salvation, getting ready, being part of that Gideon's army. If you're already standing in front, I want you to remain where you are. But if God is speaking to you at the back and you love just like compromise, going on and going on and going on, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come to the front there in the corner. I want you to go to the front there in that corner. And you say tonight, God, I want to enroll for your army. I've realized, Lord, that I'm not part of your army. Because I'm making a lot of excuses. I'm saying a lot of stuff. But you've actually dropped your sword. You've dropped your shield. You're just running around. But tonight you say, God, I want to enroll again. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to go and stand in that corner over there and in the corner over there. We're going to pray specifically for you. We're going to anoint you. We're going to just pray a simple prayer for each one of these people. I want the district leaders and zone leaders, I want you to take some oil. And we're going to pray, God, send forth your word like you did to Gideon. Send forth your word to break the strongholds, the idolatry over generations. Send forth your word, Lord, so that we can arise with confidence in who you are and who you've called us to be. So I want you to line up maybe right here to the front. I want you to make one big line right like this. So there are going to be two lines, one line this side, one line this side. If you're coming to enroll, there's that army on this side, right in front. If God has been speaking to you. And if you're here tonight, you don't belong to a small group, you don't belong, then go and find out where one is. That's life-giving, that you can submit to some other people and say, hey, I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be part of this army so that I can stand with the confidence. If you guys can just maybe stand on the red line here, then we can know who you are. We're going to just start to pray for people. But I want us, maybe there's some people here that has come to Jesus for the first time. We're going to just pray a very simple prayer of salvation, of being born again. Will you all pray with me? Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I surrender everything to you. I give my life to you. I repent. Because I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm weak, but you are strong. So tonight, wash my sins, Lord. Change me so that I can be a new creation. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus, you rose from the dead and you conquered death itself. And tonight, I say yes to eternal life. I am here to glorify you. I deny myself. Tonight I take up my cross. I walk away from the past and I stretch myself out to the call of Christ. Tonight, Lord, I only have one option, and that's you. I choose life. I choose you. I choose life. I choose you. I choose life. Therefore, I choose you. Take my life and glorify yourself. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you still need to enroll for the army while people are standing here, I want everybody just very quietly, if you need to talk about other stuff, please go to the foyer and talk there, have social, all that stuff. But we're going to do some serious business and some repenting here tonight. So if you want to spend 2 or 3 minutes, just, you see, we cannot just be hearers of the word, we must be doers of the word. So I want to encourage you, just in the little group where you are, right where you're sitting, I want you to pray praise to God while we're ministering to these people. I want, just where you're standing or where you're sitting, if you need to go, you can be free to go. But we're not going to stop the service. We can never stop a service. But if God has been speaking to you, I want you, just where you are, I want you to turn in groups of 2 or 3 to God. Please, if you come to the front or somebody standing in the front, just keep their belongings with you. Don't just let it lie on the chairs and stuff like that. We need to look after other people's belongings. But we're going to just pray for each other. Maybe you're not sharp in the word, then take up the word. Maybe you've dropped the shield of faith, then hey, take up the shield of faith. Maybe you've lost the girdle of truth, then put on that girdle. Maybe the helmet of salvation, you've just lost the joy of your salvation. You don't know what it means to be saved anymore, then we put on that helmet. Or the breastplate of righteousness, our right relationship with God. Or the shoes on our feet, you haven't testified and you're just afraid to talk to other people about Christ. Then tonight we're going to put on the armor again. We're going to say, God, we enroll for your army. Amen. Amen. Say, God, you're coming back for a pure and spotless bride. So we're going to pray for each other. I want you guys just at the back there, turn to each other. And just pray prayers from your heart. Just honest prayers. Amen. We're not pretending tonight. We're going to pray for each other while people in the front. Thank you, Jesus. I want just be obedient right now. If you have come and you're enrolling for the army, I want you just to pray in your heart. Say, Father, I pick up the sword again because I've dropped the sword. Okay, so just a prayer of repentance. Pray it with your facilitator. Say, God, I'm walking away from not being part of that or submitting to a lawless spirit or a rebellious spirit. Okay, so I want you to pray. The facilitator is not going to pray. You're going to pray that.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.